Hi, this is Ruth McCauley with news from the Decatur area for Thursday, August 6th. We begin with an article written by Allison Petty, and a Decatur Herald and Review staff writer, this from Decatur. Park District okays sale of land adjacent to former school. The Decatur Park District Board moved Wednesday to sell a parcel of property adjacent to the former Brush College School. The three commissioners who were present voted unanimously to sell the 2.19-acre parcel for $50,000 to Tony Cacomo, who purchased the building at 575 North Brush College Road earlier this year with plans to create and operate National Food Works Services. "This is going to become industrial, and they need parking," said Bill Clevenger, executive director of the Park District. "It goes back on the tax rolls, and you hope to see a new startup business that seems like it has some really good traction. Hopefully, they'll be successful there, and we can reinvest in other parts of the Park District in the neighborhood park system." The district would retain a roughly 1 acre piece of adjacent land containing a playground, which was built in the 1990s with state money. Restrictions attached to those funds prohibit the district from selling that property until 2017, Clevenger said. "When the school left, it really made no sense for us to maintain a parking lot for 70, 80 cars with no school activity," Clevenger said. "Really and truly, this playground gets little to no use." As part of the agreement, the Park District would retain an easement of 55% of the property and public access to the park from Brush College Road. Under state law, the Park District can sell amounts of land smaller than 3 acres, but must petition Macon County Circuit Court for the authority to do so, said Ed Booth, the Park District's attorney. Notice of the hearing must be published 10 days in advance, giving residents an opportunity to appear. Booth said he has not yet scheduled the hearing, but expects it will occur in the coming weeks. Commissioners Bob Riley II and Chris Riley were absent from the meeting. Gleason serves up ideas for city at chamber breakfast, an article written by Allison Petty, a Herald and Review staff writer. City Manager Tim Gleason previewed several ideas to combat Decatur's declining property values on Wednesday. Speaking at the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce breakfast, Gleason said he plans to present priorities and objectives to the Decatur City Council and hear their vision in September, which will be a sixth month on the job. One suggestion involves the city purchasing some properties that are held in trust by Macon County or on which the city has placed liens. The property assessments would become neutral, Gleason said, and the city would gain an opportunity to redevelop. "Many homes are on their way to the city's demolition list," he said. "A small investment could make them satisfactory to live in." "I think you've got opportunities to incentivize some of the city employees to live in some of these neighborhoods," Gleason said. "I think we have the possibility to create a committee that allows housing opportunities for low-income families." There might be interest from the business community in purchasing blocks of 5 or 10 homes to turn into rental properties or homes for sale, he said. Gleason also spoke about the welcoming atmosphere he believes the city should create for developers. For instance, he said the city has the players necessary for developers to get all the answers they need in one meeting. "Also, I do not like to hear the word no," he said. "If we're sitting there with that developer and they've got an idea or they're asking for an incentive, instead of hearing no or that's the way that we've always done this, I want the answer to be from staff, give us a couple of days, we'll consider this, we've never done it this way, sir or ma'am, but would like the opportunity to see if we can do this and be accommodating." It has been an extremely eventful 4.5 months for Gleason. A comprehensive review of the city's administrative court took place just a few months after he started, proving a heated topic that led to hours of Decatur City Council discussion. He spoke Wednesday about the potential for ordinance changes that could strengthen the relationship between the city and landlords. Some changes could also help landlords with tenants who are, quote, not the most desirable, end quote. Instead of a landlord having to go to the county and request a 30-day eviction notice, in some instances, if this ordinance is adopted, it will allow for the eviction to take place a lot quicker, he said. Discussions continue about the Decatur Public Library's future, with Gleason preparing to enter into negotiation with library and Macon County officials on a potential space-sharing deal. He said he hopes to look for better opportunities for the city. That's not suggesting that the deal that's on the table right now is a bad deal. That never has been the suggestion, he said, referring to a plan in which the Decatur Public Building Commission would have bought the library building. The July 17th death of Mayor Mike McElroy left city leaders in mourning, with the council required to appoint a new mayor by September 14th. Gleason said he became fond of McElroy quickly, and the two had already brainstormed and started work on a long list of topics. I realize I was his employee, but I really liked him a lot, he said. While he acknowledged the city faces challenges, Gleason reiterated his belief that opportunities outweigh them. My personality type, I would not want to be in a position where the community was on cruise control. Everything was perfect, he said. I also don't want to step into a situation where the issues are so overwhelming that there's no hope at the end of the journey, and that is totally not Decatur. We turn now to an article found on the local news page of the Decatur Tribune. It's not attributed to a particular writer, but it carries the headline, Relief Sculpture to be Unveiled, Several Activities to Honor Local Activist and Publisher Horace Livingston. A flurry of activities will surround the unveiling of a new artwork by Preston Jackson, commemorating the life of Decatur activist and publisher Horace G. Livingston, Jr. on Saturday morning, August 8th, in Decatur's Mueller Park. Jackson's new work, a relief sculpture of Mr. Livingston, will be permanently placed in the park on South Martin Luther King, Jr. Drive in Decatur. Livingston, who was an early civil rights activist and longtime editor and publisher of the Voice of the Black Community newspaper, died June 19, 2014, at age 92. Based in Peoria, Jackson is a well-known artist and a native of Decatur. He was raised in the same neighborhood as Livingston and considered Livingston a friend and mentor while the artist was a young child. One of Jackson's best-known local works, an impressive granite and cast bronze monument titled From the Cotton Field to the Battlefield, sits in the 300 block of North Water Street. The morning's events will kick off at 8:30 a.m. at the corner of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Marion Street, adjacent to Mueller Park. City officials will unveil new signs naming Marion Street as Honorary Horace G. Livingston Jr. Way. The Livingston's family will lead a brief march through the Southside neighborhood where Livingston was born and raised, with stops at the sites of two of his former homes. The Decatur Police Department will escort the marchers. The formal program will begin around 9 a.m. in the Mueller Park Frontiers International Pavilion, which will also bear Livingston's name. Jackson will give a lecture on his new work and the importance of maintaining memories of local civil rights pioneers through art. Former Decatur Mayor Paul Osborne, editor and publisher of the Decatur Tribune and a close friend of Livingston, will give a tribute. Other scheduled speakers include City Council member Dr. Dana Ray, Wedgie Stewart, president of the Community Foundation of Macon County, Pat West, editor of the Voice newspaper, and Evelyn Hood, director of the African American Cultural and Genealogical Society of Illinois. Musical entertainment will be provided by the Carson Singers. Following the dedication ceremonies, the Frontiers International Service Organization will conduct voter registration, and Victory Pharmacy will dispense health and nutrition information. The concept of a permanent memorial to Horace G. Livingston arose among his children shortly after his death. They formed a committee, made personal donations, and reached out to the Community Foundation to successfully raise $28,000 needed to fund the memorial. The foundation established the Horace G. Livingston Jr. Memorial Project, solicited donations, and secured a lead gift from the Andreas Foundation. Among other contributions was a grant from the Decatur Area Arts Council, the Illinois Arts Council Agency, and the National Endowment for the Arts. The Community Foundation features an article about the project on its website. Authored by Jan Matthew, the article began with these paragraphs. As a youngster growing up in Decatur, much of Horace Buck Livingston Jr.'s life revolved around Southside Park. Just blocks from his neighborhood home on Rogers Avenue, this green space, now known as Mueller Park, was where Livingston cultivated friendships and played baseball, most notably for the Jolly Boys. It is also true the site that launched Livingston's lifelong passion for civil rights and social activism. In 1934, 13-year-old Livingston joined a group of youngsters that marched from Southside Park to Lake Decatur to protest that blacks could not swim there with whites. All white swimming in the lake ended after that, recalls Livingston's daughter, Sheila Watson, and activism was embedded in my father from that early age. Throughout his life, Livingston, who died on June 19, 2014 at age 92, was a passionate and tireless social and community activist. Community leaders long associated with Livingston on both personal and professional levels describe him as brave, passionate, and committed. Livingston, a World War II veteran, was perhaps best known as the longtime publisher-editor of The Voice, a newspaper that covered Decatur, Bloomington, Springfield, and Peoria for more than 40 years. As Decatur's first African-American-owned newspaper, The Voice featured stories that Livingston felt would not be covered otherwise. For information about the Memorial Fund, contact the Community Federation of Macon County, 125 North Water Street, Suite 200, or by calling 217-429-3000. Right below that is another article about the Decatur celebration and a memorial honoring the late Mayor Mike McElroy being created and unveiled during that event. The Decatur Celebration and members of the community announced plans for a special public art display to honor the spirit and memory of Mike McElroy. A privately funded mural will be created and unveiled in front of thousands of downtown visitors during the Decatur Celebration. The mural, designed by local artist Shani Goss, will be painted on the upper portion of the west-facing wall of 240 North Park Street, directly across from Central Park. Goss, along with Decatur Area Arts Council Director Jerry Johnson, will work on the project during the duration of the Decatur Celebration. The project will begin on Friday and will be completed on Sunday. The design, which includes a likeness of the McElroy, includes his signature smile and symbols and colors that represent not only his personality, but his love of the Decatur community. Longtime friends and committee members feel this is the perfect way to honor the memory of McElroy. Kevin Breheny stated, "What a perfect opportunity to honor one of Decatur's greatest leaders at the Decatur Celebration, an event he held so dear." Brad Byer said, "Mayor McElroy was very proud of the downtown renovation and loved the Decatur Celebration. This is the perfect way to pay tribute and honor his accomplishments involving both." Another longtime friend, Joe Fletcher, stated, "I think Tunu would be very pleased by this project. I know his family is." The project has been made possible thanks to generous contributions by Macon County Sheriff Tom Schneider, John and Martha Brinkutter, Pat and Ann Dawson, John and Susie Skeffington, Matt Beck, and Doug Barding, Mac McLeod, Bob and Kathy Weissman, and Kevin and Sue Breheny. Sunbelt Rentals will be assisting the project by supplying lifts and lights for the artist. Thanks are given to the organizing committee comprised of Kevin Breheny, Joel Fletcher, Julie Moore Wolf, Shani Goss, Jerry Johnson, Ryan McCrady, Brian Byers, and Kelly Runyon. A special thank you to Emily Baldwin for the donation of the usage of the building and to the entire McElroy family for their blessing of the project. Council opens mayoral discussion, succession discussion, talks library building. Decatur City Council members on Monday began a discussion as how to fill the vacant seat after the untimely passing of Mayor Mike McElroy last month, with plans for future talks set to occur prior to a decision being made. Monday's regular council meeting represented the first since the mayor, a 12-year member of the city's governing body who was twice elected mayor, died on July 17th. During the meeting, Mayor McElroy's seat remained cloaked in black in memoriam as council members and attendees began with a moment of silence in his honor, and as Mayor pro tempore Julie Moore Wolf later read letters of condolence from the mayors of Decatur's sister cities. Members on Monday held a closed session to discuss how to best move forward with a mayoral appointment, but did not make a decision on how to fill the post, a choice that must be made by September 14th. In other business, council members provided City Manager Tim Gleason with informal direction to pursue negotiations with Macon County, the Decatur Public Building Commission, and the Decatur Public Library Board regarding the future disposition of the library building. There have been ongoing discussions between the three entities for some time now. However, the city only recently began to learn specific details about a proposed agreement calling for the library and the county to share space. While he did not give a specific recommendation, City Manager Tim Gleason laid out the pros and cons of several potential options on Monday, including the potential purchase of the building by the city. He indicated that the city's goal in going forward is to negotiate with all involved parties to determine the best option for local taxpayers. We turn back to the Decatur Herald and Review with an article with the headline, "Lantern Parade Winds Down Park District Summer Program." And this is an article written by Allison Petty, who's an H&R staff writer. After she led activities and supervised children in Mueller Park all summer, Brittany Hood was happy when they ran up to give her a hug Wednesday night. It was the 79th annual Lantern Parade in Fairview Park, a celebratory event that signals the end of the Decatur Park District Summer Park programs. Hood, 22, said she was sad that the end of her time as a yellow hat park leader meant she would not continue to see the children every day. But she brought a surprise for a group of the regular attendees, a big bag of sunflower seeds. They'd been sampling hers all summer, she said. The job sometimes meant she had to discipline the children for minor infractions, but they didn't hold grudges. They're so fun. They're always in a good mood, she said. They're never in a bad mood ever because they just love coming to the park and playing. The summer finale event included face painting, Scoville Zoo mobile zoo animals, Tremp the clown, and performances. Excuse me. From the Greater Decatur Youth Band and the Amazing Dudley. Kids made lanterns out of popcorn buckets earlier in the evening and ended the night by displaying them. This was Aaron and Abby McIntosh's first lantern parade as they moved to Decatur in January. Their daughters, 8-year-old Anna and 12-year-old Ava, took part in park district programs all summer, including swim lessons, the zoo's day camp, and the Best of Summer Stock Boss theater program. We've not been disappointed yet, Abby McIntosh said. Everything we've done, we've gone to, we've had a good time. The kids have had a good time. We're impressed with our park district here. I think they're doing a great job. Sarah Pritz remembers attending the lantern parade when she was a child. She came Wednesday with her husband Ryan and their children, Marissa, 4, and Cassidy, 9 months. Marissa's lantern included a heart, a letter M, and the outline of a princess. I love princesses because I watch princess movies, she said, adding that her favorite is Pocahontas. Mary Jane Hayes, summer supervisor to the Park District, said the parks program went well this year, aside from a rainy June that hurt participation. All in all, we were pretty happy with our park leaders, feeding the kids and having activities in the park, she said. Better Bites, advice on filling up, not filling out. This is an article by Teresa Churchill, who's the H&R senior writer. Kelly Ensign of Milminie, I don't know how you say that, Milmine, says her snack choices change with the season. We have a garden, so when summer gets here, I eat a lot of watermelon and cantaloupe, she said. In the winter time, I'm hardcore chocolate. Caitlin Huth, nutrition and wellness educator for the University of Illinois Extension, offered Ensign and other attendees a host of healthy snack ideas during a free session last month at the Macon County Health Department. We want you to have a snack that will fill you up but won't fill you out, she said. The event was co-sponsored by the Obesity Prevention Coalition. Who said snacks with staying power contain protein, fiber, or both? Examples include a hard-boiled egg, protein, popcorn, fiber, peanut butter spread on apple slices, both, and bean dip with carrots, both. Your body digests these more slowly, so you have the sensation of feeling full longer, she said. You can also use snacks to make up for any food group you miss at mealtime. Indeed, Huth said snacks tend to make up about one quarter of a person's calorie intake, so it's important to plan ahead for healthy snacking by keeping snacks on hand or packaging them to take with you. Huth tempted her audience with two possibilities: a tasty trail mix of dry cereal, raisins, and chocolate chunks, and a savory corn and bean salsa. If salsa is not the definition of summer, I don't know what is, she said. If it's not something you want to make, you can buy it at a grocery store. Huth urged her listeners to think beyond traditional sweet and salty snacks and to mix things up to keep it interesting. Sally Williams of Decatur said she tries to channel her love of potato chips into eating healthier variations. Nancy Napier of Decatur said she chooses low-carb snacks such as peanuts or fruit. She also likes to hard-boil eggs ahead of time. I'll shell two eggs and eat one, and the other one I'll kind of split with my grand puppy, Napier said. Eggs are good for dogs. Other snack tips? Snack only when hungry and not when you're bored, frustrated, or stressed. Avoid constant snacking and eating snacks an hour or two before a meal. Watch serving size by reading package labels and portioning out a snack rather than eating from a multiple servings container. They then proceed to give us some recipes here. Real quick, let's see if we can get this done. Corn and bean salsa. You take 3 medium red tomatoes, washed and coarsely chopped, 1 15-ounce can of black beans, rinsed and drained, 1 8-ounce can of yellow corn, rinsed and drained, or 1 cup of fresh corn, 1 small onion chopped, 1 1/2 bunch of fresh cilantro, washed and chopped, juice from 1/2 of a fresh lime, and 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. Combine the ingredients, serve immediately, or refrigerate to serve later. And popcorn trail mix, 1 cup air-popped popcorn, 1 tablespoon of dried fruit, try dried raisins or dried cherries, and 1 tablespoon dark chocolate pieces. Combine ingredients and serve. All of those sound pretty tempting. Well, we're out of time with our first half hour reading of news from the Decatur area. We got a little bit out of both the Tribune and the Decatur Herald and Review. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. And so we'll hope you'll be able to stick around for the second half hour, coming right back in just a few moments.